Good leadership can be hard to define, but we all know it when we see it. In this series, we'll be looking closely at leadership styles and trying to identify some of the best practice, as well as looking at the big trends to watch for in the technology and innovation sectors. I'm Anne O'Dea, I'm the CEO of Silicon Republic, and I've always been fascinated by the different ways people lead their teams. That's why I'm very excited to share The Leaders' Room with you, a brand new podcast series we're making in partnership with IDEA Ireland. Over the series, I'll sit down with the leaders of some of Ireland's most iconic, and indeed some less familiar, multinationals in the areas of technology, communications, engineering, life sciences and fintech, to get not just invaluable insights on leadership, but on emerging technologies and the future for these exciting sectors. But first, a word about our partners, IDEA Ireland. The series features success stories of companies that have flourished within Ireland's open economy, and IDEA Ireland is committed to helping these businesses transform and thrive with supports across R&D, sustainability, digitalization, and talent development. To see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay, visit IDEAIreland.com. We're kicking off the series with Jane Dawson Howe, who's the country manager of Slalom, a relatively recent arrival to our shores here in Ireland. With some 12,000 employees in 8 countries around the world, the professional services company officially launched its operations here in Ireland in May 2023. Leadership is a topic that often gets discussed in a somewhat academic way, so I wanted to keep my conversation with Jane more informal, and it's something we'll be trying to do throughout this series. One thing that really stood out to me in my conversation with Jane is how good leadership is really a journey. Jane has some great thoughts as to how leadership is constantly changing, and indeed how much it has changed in the 30 years she has been in business. It was also fascinating to get her views on how leadership has had to transform alongside global crisis and a fast-changing work world in recent years. And of course, we had to chat generative AI and how it's transforming how Slalom and its clients work. And finally, I couldn't not ask Jane for some predictions and trends to watch out for in 2024 and beyond. I hope you enjoy our chat as much as we did. I am delighted to introduce today's studio guest. It's Jane Dawson Howe, who is the country manager for Ireland for Slalom, which is the business and technology consulting company. And previous to that, an illustrious career in the likes of Accenture and LinkedIn. But you'll tell us more about that, I'm sure. Jane, you're most welcome. And we always like to start these by looking a little bit at the human side. So I'd love to hear a little bit about yourself and your journey to your role here.
Well, born and bred in Ireland, born in Dublin, grew up in Wicklow. So I've always lived in Ireland. It's always been my home, although I've lived and worked all over the world. I've one husband, the university professor, and I've 2 adult children who are great because they're both digital natives. So they give me an opportunity to see things through a different lens, I guess. I spent a long time, 23 years, working for a global technology company, which was amazing, actually. Almost all of that time, I worked in the comms, media, and technology sector, which was always very technology forward. And so we were always, you know, building interesting solutions, bringing together teams from all around the world. I think I learned a lot about myself. I developed a lot of versatility and resilience working in that industry. It never stayed still. And then, as you say, I spent 6 years at LinkedIn, which was a real departure, actually. Mm-hmm. They called me up to lead a European sales organization, which was completely outside my comfort zone and not something I'd ever done before. But the leader in the business was somebody I greatly admired. And so I jumped at the chance to do that. So I would say that my time at LinkedIn was very helpful to me in terms of the modern leadership skills I developed. So I was leading very diverse, very young teams, who needed a lot of inspiration, a lot of communication. And also, while I was there, you know, we dealt with so many different things. We dealt with COVID. We dealt with remote work. We dealt with the return to the office. We had a lot of emotion and challenge around when when Russia invaded Ukraine, because there were, you know, lots of personal stories around that. We rolled out a lot of transformation. We changed all the systems. We up-leveled how the salespeople worked. So it did a lot of really interesting, exciting things at LinkedIn. And then I got a phone call from Slalom.
Tell us a bit about Slalom, for those who aren't aware of it, and maybe also then where the Irish operation fits into, because it's a big global organisation.
Yes, so Slalom is a modern business and technology consulting firm, and we work with our clients on their most ambitious projects, I would say. We take a very human-centred approach to our work, and we bring the newest of leading technologies and modern approaches to data and engineering and analytics and AI, and we say to help our clients create their future. Our motto is to dream bigger, move faster, and build better tomorrows for all. And we try to do this in a very collaborative and outcomes-focused way. So that's what we do as an organization. We're new in Ireland. We opened here earlier this year. We had an official launch in May of this year, but we're part of a global firm. We're the eighth international market for Slalom after Canada, the UK, Germany, Japan, Australia, and New Zealand.
Wow.
There are about 12 or 13,000 of us around the world.
In all those roles you've just mentioned, including your current role, have you sort of developed thoughts around what leadership should look like, or have you a description for your own leadership style?
That's a really good question, because I would say in the 30 years that I've been working, leadership has changed so much. I'm a big fan of something that we call organizational clarity. And a lot of people have heard of Simon Sinek, and he talks a lot about start with the why. And he has this diagram where he's got a circle, and in the middle of the circle is the why, and outside the why is the how, and then after that is the what. And organizational clarity is a bit like that. So you need to start with being really clear about what your organization is for, why it's here, and what it hopes to achieve. And then you need to be clear with every individual what their role is and, you know, how they're going to contribute to that. And then the next thing is, what are the systems? How do we operate as a business? And then lastly, what does everybody need to do to be successful? So that makes everything very clear. So organizational clarity requires lots of communication. So I like to say that I communicate early and I communicate often. And I learned that you should communicate even when you don't know the full story. You should say as much as you can, as early as you can. So what you're doing there is you're narrowing the gap where people don't know what's going on, and we'll fill that gap with their worries and their concerns, and can potentially get upset about things which aren't an issue at all. So organizational clarity, I think, is super important. I think I've changed a lot as a leader. I've mapped myself against all of these different frameworks over the years, and I've always been a person who gets stuff done. But over time, I think I've become a lot more empathetic. I think during COVID, we learned a lot of compassion, you know, just figuring out how do you work with people who are situated in really, really challenging circumstances. I like to think I'm inclusive. I'm a big fan of diversity and inclusion, and I was a sponsor of that within LinkedIn, and it's a big focus of mine now. And I bring clarity, because that's one of my things. But if you were to ask my team, they would also tell you I'm very competitive. You should see me in a pub quiz.
And that's probably quite a good thing in leadership, isn't it?
It is, so long as you don't take it too far.
And tell me, I suppose, you know, we have to have the obvious conversation, because it must impact hugely what you're doing. 2023 was such a big year for AI and for generative AI. So tell me a little bit about, for Slalom, the importance of AI.
It's been a huge topic for us all year. I think 2023 was the year that the generative AI tools really hit the mainstream. And for us as a business just starting out, it was a very exciting time to be catching that wave. I think a lot of people have heard of the tools like AWS Code Whisperer and Microsoft GitHub Copilot, which deliver incredible productivity for developer teams. But now we've got all of these tools that you don't have to be an engineer to use. So like Microsoft's M365 Copilot and the OpenAI ChatGPT. And now there's a whole family of different copilots being developed. Microsoft have lots of them. AWS are coming. Salesforce have them as well, that are going to drive incredible productivity and also quite a bit of creativity in people's day-to-day work. So that's very exciting. We are very proud to be one of the global launch partners with Microsoft for M365 Copilot. And that's brilliant because it appears in all of your Office tools. So it appears in Outlook, all of your Windows tools, in your Teams, everywhere else, and helps you do all sorts of things. So in the last few weeks, I've had it summarize meetings, list out the actions, start an email chain or review an email chain discussion and pull out the 3 or 4 salient points. I sent a PowerPoint to my team as a pre-read last week, and I had Copilot just summarize the key themes, the things that I wanted them to pay attention to. Now, it's not perfect, but you know, perfecting something takes a lot less time than doing it from scratch. And so I think these tools are going to be incredibly disruptive, you know, next year as businesses come to grips with them, how to implement them, how to build the business case around what they will do for productivity, but also think a lot about the data that's needed to train them efficiently, how to keep that safe and away from bad actors, but also to make sure it's balanced and doesn't introduce bias as well.
Yeah, it's one of the big issues, isn't it? Mm. And I love the fact that you mentioned not just, you know, because so many people talk about productivity, but you mentioned creativity as well. If you could develop that a little bit. But in what way do you think AI will...
I've used the tool to come up with icebreaker ideas or, you know, team building ideas. You know, there's lots of things out there, but it's used a lot now to produce content and pictures and marketing materials. And you can see that becoming a big area in the coming years.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. You can see it already, can't you? Yeah. Oh my gosh. And tell me then, within the organization itself, like you're helping people with innovation and, you know, digital transition and digital transformation. But what about within the organization itself, your own digital transformation?
We did, because we got so excited about the potential of these generative AI tools. We kicked off an internal initiative earlier this year called Project 1K. And the objective was to present 1,000 generative AI demos or proofs of concept to 1,000 customers in 100 days. And there were a couple of reasons for this. One was to just explore the potential of the tools across all sorts of different industry sectors, but also to learn and co-create with our customers. And so that was really interesting and really insightful. And we did 1,300 in the 100 days. So we overachieved our objective, but it was because we learned so much as we went along. So you go into thinking about these tools, assuming I've a bit of an engineer's mindset, assuming that they work in a logical way. And then you realize that actually they work a little bit differently. And they're proofs of concept. So you don't maybe have all the data you need and you mightn't have everything you need, but you start realizing what are the key bits that are important and that you can leverage. And so you learn a lot from building these and you get faster and faster. And so we had 3-week proofs of concept, which we can now do in a week.
And I mean, our partners on this series are IDA Ireland. So I do want to ask you as well of the kind of supports you've got from IDA in the kind of innovations that you're trying to carry out within your own organization or any other kind of help that you've got from IDA recently.
Slalom was talking to the IDA, I would say, 7 or 8 years before we came here. They're brilliant at being in the right places around the world to have those conversations and being so available. And so when the conversation started with Slalom, you know, they were about, well, what is the market opportunity? What is the cost of doing business? Where are you going to locate your team? Like, what's the office space situation? What are the tax implications? What about the talent? What about the competitive landscape? What's going on in the market? So I think the IDA have been incredibly helpful, not just to Slalom, but to so many companies in making a really informed decision about coming here. And now that we're here, there are lots of supports. You're plugged into a network of support. I think what the IDA has given us is access to a network of peer companies as well. information about things that are changing in the industry. And just knowing that they're there, you can always call them up and ask for a point of view on something.
And your thoughts on Ireland's place in the world, in this whole area?
Well, you know, people say that Ireland punches above its weight on the global stage, and I really think that it does. Mm. And I think there are a few things that we have going for us. One is we do have a strong economy, and we have a history of innovation and creativity. We have lots of multinational organisations who are here, and I think they push us as a country to do better, to focus on our infrastructure, to focus on our housing, although that's a whole other conversation. But they push us to do the right things for the economy. I think that our geographic situation, that gateway between North America and Europe, has been incredibly beneficial for all companies considering international or global expansion. And talent, you know, we do have a great workforce here. We've got very well-educated people, a great education system, and people are willing to come here to work, which is incredibly important. I think as well, we've seen a trend maybe of some companies wishing to locate here now as the only English-speaking country in the EU at the moment. And of course, our membership of the EU, you know, provides access to a large, very large and prosperous market for goods and services. So there are lots of reasons why, you know, Ireland does well, I think. We're storytellers. Mm. And, you know, when you think about different things, social events, you know, like some of the recent votes, 2015, the equal marriage and the abortion referendum and so on, it was stories, people's personal stories that were told. So I think we do have a little bit of a knack for that and for building relationships. Mm. And we're a small community. Everybody knows everybody. You know, I'd be amazed if you and I didn't have 50 people in common that we just haven't discovered yet. So I think that really helps as well with trust and building relationships. And that's important for business as well as personal.
Well, I mean, in your role at Slalom, you're would have your finger on the pulse quite a bit when it comes to all things technology, innovation. You have to have it. Mm-hmm. If you were to look forward for the rest of 2024, and maybe even beyond, are there trends that kind of stick out for you?
So yes, we've taken a look at trends. So I'm presenting them with some caveats, but there are definitely a few things to consider. There's one, I think, when you think about the year we've had, it's been very disruptive. We've had all of these generative AI tools, but there's been geopolitical conflict. There's been supply chain disruption. It's been a difficult year for doing business as a business person, but it's also been a difficult year as a consumer as well. So I think one trend we see is what we've called the impatient consumer. Like, who among us has not been frustrated at the end of the phone or a chatbot or something waiting to be served, waiting to be told what we can, you know, in a queue for our, you know, electricity bill or to do something in banking and so on. And those experiences feel like they've got worse as companies have maybe cut costs and have not invested maybe in a good multi-channel experience. So, for example, I can do things in my banking app, but not all of them. Mm-hmm. And there are some things I have to go to the bank for, which means I have to walk, you know, 15 minutes and have to be there before 2:30 and fill in forms and do things. And so it's not a great experience. So I do think that generative AI tools and well-enabled chatbots, which are operating over good quality, secure data, will be able to really improve that experience for our consumers. And we've seen it. We've built many of those kinds of proofs of concept for our customers, and they work incredibly well when they're configured well over the data set. But good data underpinning those is super important. So that's one thing. Another, I think, is just time horizons have gotten much shorter. Everybody's looking for a much faster return on investment. You know, when I started out 30 years ago in my career, it wasn't unusual to be part of a technology transformation program that took 3 years or more. Companies don't have the patience to wait for that now. Too much will change in 3 years for you to invest in something that might be obsolete in 3 years' time. So I think we're going to see an awful lot more fast sprints and speed to value from the programs that we work on, whether they're strategy programs or whether they're, you know, technology delivery programs. And there's going to be a lot more of a mindset of try something, move quickly, see if it works, fail fast, pick yourself up and go again. And we saw that a lot in the proofs of concept that we've been working on over the summer. So things that we started off with a particular approach because we had engineers' mindsets, by the end of 3 weeks, we were doing things in a completely different way because it's large language models and prompt engineering, and the expectations of the model are quite different. And so you get a very different result than you think. So I think that's the second one. And then the third has got to be around not losing sight of the people impact of all of this and the human touch. You know, in every conversation I have with a customer or a potential customer or one of our technology partners, somebody around the table is going to say, well, the technology, that's not the problem, you know. And it's not that the people are a problem, but it's the people need to be considered in all of this. People's jobs are going to change. People's the way people work is going to change quite dramatically, I would say, in the next couple of years with these co-pilots, with these assistants, which are going to take a lot of the analysis, the repetition out of the work. And that's going to give us time to do other things. So a lot of things are going to change. So that, I'd say, would be the third one. But who knows? Ask me again in 12 months' time. It'll be something completely different that we haven't even imagined yet.
We won't hold you to it, I promise, Jane. But it's lovely to get your point of view of what we might see. And I wouldn't disagree with any of the three, I have to say. Mm. So, look, it has been absolutely fantastic to chat to you today. So thanks so much for coming into the studio. Jane Dawson-Howe, thanks a million.
Thank you very much for having me.
As a fellow communications professional, I love Jane's mantra of communicating often and well. It's so easy to get lost in the weeds when you're running complex projects and to assume that your team is getting all the information they need. When you do take the time to have transparent and open communications with your team, it always pays back in multiples. An informed team is one that is more comfortable, more secure, and has a better sense of being part of the greater vision of the organisation. As Jane points out, 2023 has been a rough year for many in our sector and for many individuals. From headlines about downsizing to a cost of living crisis to international conflicts. So I must say her energy and her optimism when it comes to the year ahead was very refreshing. If 2023 was the year when we all had to very quickly get our heads around generative AI and how it was going to affect our lives, our jobs, our organisations, maybe 2024 can be the year that it enriches our work lives as we get to grips with the sheer possibilities on offer. But definitely one of my big takeaways was just how much leadership has had to change in the face of very human challenges recently. Empathy, once a nice to have, is now really a fundamental part of how we lead our teams, as is an appreciation and an acceptance of true diversity within our organisations. And that, in my view, can only be a very good thing. Thanks again to our series partner, IDA Ireland. You can see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay by visiting idaireland.com or visit siliconrepublic.com and look for the Leaders Room, where you can find video versions of our podcast interviews.